Views and comments expressed on this program are not necessarily those of
WMBM Media Groups,
its staff, management, or advertisers. Gospel AM 1490 WMBM.
Host Anna Stevenson. You know, it's just always good to be on the air to talk to you about God and how good God is to us and all the great things that he's doing for us. And I never start the show without giving God all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And in a few minutes, as soon as we're waiting for our guest to arrive, and she'll be here in a little bit momentarily, but she's one of those women that, you know, when we say, I'm every woman, she's every woman. I'm telling you, this guest that we have coming up, Dr. Dunia Pettis, she is one of the people that I'm telling you, when you hear her story, you're going to know that there is a God. Is she with us yet, KJ?
Yes.
Yes, she's with us. Well, before we get started, I just want to tell you, let me give you just a brief introduction about who I'm talking about here. Dr. Dunia Pettis, she's an award-winning public relations, social media marketing, public affairs, and crisis communication strategist. She's also an ordained clergy leader. She's an author and motivational speaker. She also holds a PhD, really smart. She holds a PhD in mass communication from the University of Maryland. She also served as press secretary at the National Rainbow Coalition for Reverend Jesse Jackson. Dr. Pettis is also the founder of Nobody But God Outreach Ministries. And through this ministry, God uses her talents and skills and gifts to counsel and support women and their children who are victims and survivors of emotional, verbal, physical, and domestic violence. Now, she also released a memoir entitled Nobody But God, A Journey of Faith from Tears to Triumph. And that book received national media coverage from CNN, different radio stations, newspapers, and even the Washington Post. I can go on and on about her, but I just want to let you guys know who I'm talking about. On June 19th, she received the 2023 United States Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award from the United States President Joe Biden for her volunteer advocacy work helping domestic violence victims and breast cancer and heart disease patients and survivors. And there's so much more that I could say about her. There's so much that she's done and so much that she is doing. But we'll make sure that you get her website so you can look at her website and you'll see who I'm talking about. But today, we are so honored and happy to have Dr. Dunia Pettis on our show, Spiritual Downloads. She's a remarkable woman. She's spiritual, she's smart, she's strong, and she's a four-time cancer survivor and a survivor of domestic abuse. And we're going to talk a little bit about her journey right here on Spiritual Downloads today. Dr. Dunia Pettis, it's so great to have you here on Spiritual Downloads.
It is amazing to be on Spiritual Downloads, and thank you, Anna Stevenson, for being this remarkable host and for inviting me to share with your audience today.
Well, you know, I have followed you. I've been following you, and I don't think you know just how much I've been following you on Facebook. And just seeing what you've gone through and your amazing journey and how you just continue to praise God through it all.
That's
been remarkable just to watch. And it really made me drawn to watch more of you and to just look at how you handle things. And we know that you've gone through domestic abuse, you've gone through cancer, and you're still praising God.
Absolutely.
So through it all. Through it all. I mean, some people would have given up by now.
Through it all. Well, you know, when you have Jesus, that's all you know. And if not for Jesus, I wouldn't be here. So I totally believe it's great for people to go through things privately and share their testimony after the storm is over. But God has called me to a ministry where I'm transparent throughout the journey. And it's very challenging to do that because you're opening yourself up. But I found so many followers and so many people who were being ministered to that I knew it was God that called me to this. And so I thank you so much for following. But no, I've been following you. And I thank you for your journey and your faith and all that you're doing with the WMBM 1490 AM radio station audience and the fact that God is spiritually downloading things to you to share. So it's just amazing to be on this platform, and we can talk about domestic violence awareness and breast cancer awareness since this is the awareness month, and we can just get into whatever you want to talk about. I'll just take your lead.
Well, you are very honest about what you've had to deal with the domestic violence. You've been very open and honest about it. When did that domestic violence, when did it start for you? When did it all begin?
Right. Well, I was an abused first lady, and I kept it a secret. I got married at 29.
Wait. I don't want anybody to miss that. Did you guys hear?
I was an abused first lady in the pulpit sitting next to my pastor husband, and nobody knew. Yeah, I suffered in silence for 6 years. I got married at 29. It started immediately, the emotional and the verbal abuse. And people don't realize emotional and verbal abuse is extremely challenging. People think words don't hurt. You know, we were told when we were kids, sticks and stones can hurt your bones, but words will never hurt you. Well, that's a lie. My husband used words, and he called me stupid, dumb, ugly, fat. I was a size 4. I couldn't cook. I couldn't do anything well. Now, when we were dating and courting for that 2 years, he was incredibly gracious, nice, never raised his voice to me. I never saw any type of red flag behavior. So I want your audience to really hear me because you don't always see it or hear it before, you know, once you get married and then you're like, whoa, the real person comes out. It's kind of like that stage when you're dating someone and it's their representative. I just didn't know that that was my boyfriend, fiance representative. When I married him, he said I became his property. So he would use the word of God, like slave masters used to their slaves, to keep me in obedience. And he kept saying that the reason why he was doing this is because I needed to be more submissive. And so whatever I did, it was never good enough. He didn't want me to talk to my family. He isolated me. He was doing all these things that were red flags, but I didn't know at the time. I'm a young bride. I'm just thinking he's going through a lot of pressure. At the time, he was on dialysis. He needed a kidney. So literally, Sister Anna, I put all of the weight on, okay, God, when he gets this transplant, he's going to be nice to me. When he gets this transplant, he's going to be a wonderful husband. He's going to love me the way he's supposed to. And when he got the transplant, that's when he was strong enough to start really beating me. And beating me with his Timberland shoes. He would kick me and break my ribs. That was one of his favorite things to do. Had broken toes, had a broken nose, and I would just hide a lot. I had a lot of black eyes. I learned how to use concealer. And when I tell you I told nobody, because I couldn't trust anyone else.
Why didn't you tell anybody?
Well, I'll be honest. You know, I had to really reflect, and when I was writing my book, I had to be real with me. The first reason was pride. I didn't want anybody to know, and I was ashamed. I literally did not want anyone to know that this marriage was not working. And what was going on behind closed doors, I thought I could pray away. I could anoint his shoes. I had oil on everything, girl. I was just crying out to the Lord and just thinking that the Lord was going to answer in the way I wanted, which was allow him to change. I begged him to go to therapy. He would never show up. I'd show up, he wouldn't. And so it was one of those things where I was ashamed, I was embarrassed, I did not want him to get arrested. If I had called the cops, he would have gotten arrested. He would have lost his job and his position in the church, right? And so I was looking at all those variables, and I just decided to keep it within me. And that's what I did, unfortunately, for 6 years. And then it came to an ugly head. And the ugly head was, and I want your audience to listen, especially these good Christians who are on here who are saying, oh, my God, how could she stay through that? Well, he also had three affairs. So I was going through abuse and him cheating, and I just literally couldn't take it anymore. And so after 6 years, one of the last lover called me, and they were being really smart on the phone, saying, why don't you just leave? Because he wanted me to leave. And me to be the one that messed things up so he could have his hands free. But I was determined, no, I'm going to stick this thing out no matter what. You'll just have to kill me. And so I called him on his office this day when this particular lover was really taunting me. And I called him at his job, which was at the church, and this was a no-no. I had never in my entire 6 years of marriage had called him on his job. And he said, when I get home, you're going to get it. His tone was the scariest tone I've ever heard. Never heard that tone in 8 years of being together and 6 years of being married. So I knew he was coming home to kill me, you know? And I went downstairs. He had recently had hernia surgery, so we had Percocets, and it was applesauce in the refrigerator. I got a bunch of sleeping pills, crushed them all up, did a concoction, took it, and I was like, God, just take me, because I can't take no more. And he came home. The doctors estimated I'd been out 4 or 5 hours. I was in and out of consciousness. And he came home, rushed me to the hospital, and they pumped my stomach. They asked me a bunch of questions. Why was I trying to harm myself? I still didn't want to tell them the truth. And then finally an angel in the form of a nurse, she was my nurse, she bent down to me and she said, what is really going on? And I said, he's been beating me. And I cried and cried because I never told anyone. And she asked him to leave the room, like the little curtain area in the ER. And they admitted me for psychiatric evaluation. And I went through therapy. I repented to God. I realized that God did not mean for me to be abused. I filed for divorce, my sisters, if you're listening. I did everything I had to do to remove myself of that situation, and that's not what I want anyone listening to do. I want you, if you're listening in an immediate danger, to call 911. And if you're not in immediate danger, there's still a resource for you called the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Again, that's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Wherever you are listening, you call this number, 1-800-799-SAFE, 1-800-799-SAFE, and they will patch you in to someone who's free, local, confidential, and they will allow you to help you safely plan your escape. Most people get killed while they're trying to escape, so that's why we say safely plan. They will get you and your children to safety, and you will have people to help you through the legal process, restraining orders, protective orders, doing whatever we have to do to keep you safe. But help is there. Help is there.
Wow. This is amazing, because here's the thing. You're the one that ends up with psychiatric evaluation when he is the abuser. He's the one that's psycho.
Yeah, and he goes home and goes to sleep at night. And then what he did was he told the congregation that I had a mental breakdown. Very embarrassing and humiliating. So you have to understand, abusers will do anything they can to keep the charade going. So they will always make it the woman's fault. And that's just, unfortunately, other women believe that. Other men believe that. People don't want to believe that someone in the pews or the pulpit can be abusing people. But guess what? There are abusers in every form of life, you know? And so why do we think that things can happen outside of the church and don't realize things happen within the church that we need to talk about? And we don't preach about those things. We don't talk about that stuff from the pulpit. You know, nobody wants to hear it. But guess what? Statistics say 1 in 4 women in her lifetime will be a part of some form of domestic violence. And that's according to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence and the FBI. These statistics are real. I never thought I'd be one of the four. Who would think that? I'd be crazy to stay with someone who was doing harm to me. I never grew up in a household with that, and he wasn't in a household with that. This is just
well, that was going to be my next question. Did he come from an abusive family?
Literally, he was not. He was in a two-parent household, very functional, went to church, the whole nine yards. And it just was something within him. When he got with me, he just wanted to dominate me. I don't think if he had married another woman, because if someone had told me someone would hit me or do all those things, I'm like, girl, please, I'm out. But when you're in love and when you're in a marriage and you're trying to make things work and he's in ministry, you feel all these layers of obligations. And because people hear and see him and reverence him for who he is and what he's doing in the community, they're not married to him. He was a phenomenal pastor, a phenomenal minister. He just was a bad husband. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, this is very scary, because to think that the pastor, the person who is leading people, needs to be led himself. The person
Absolutely.
Who is supposed to be pouring into people
shepherd.
Spiritually
Absolutely.
Is not even capable.
Absolutely. And I couldn't go to his mentors. Oh, my God, no. That would have been worse than anything. And another thing that was unique with us, I got licensed to ministry after we were married a year, because he wanted the first year for just to be us. He knew about my call to ministry, and he said, so let's wait to our one-year anniversary. And so when I became licensed in the ministry and became a minister sitting up, because, you know, the first year I'm in the pews watching him, the second year I'm sitting up there with him. And I'm literally scared to death. Some Sundays I'm shaking so much in my skin, I'm thinking everybody can tell I just got beat the night before. I'm always thinking people can tell, but they never could, you know? And so I just became good at hiding, and he became good at masquerading. We were just becoming two different fake people in front of everybody.
Well, do you think that sometimes there are people who know something is wrong, but because they want to protect the pastor, they won't say anything? All those people who were his leaders, you think nobody had an inkling that he was abusive to his wife?
I don't think anybody did, because, again, you have to understand, you see a person maybe, once or twice a week, you see him at Bible study, you see him in the pulpit, and, you only know what is portrayed. You don't know, right. None of us go to anybody's pastor's homes or in minister's homes, you know what I'm saying? So you only go by what you're given. I don't honestly think anyone knew, because if they did, like when I came out and wrote my book, which was 4 years after my divorce, I got divorced in 2003, and the Lord birthed Nobody But God Ministries and told me to share my story in my memoir in 2007. When I came out, the backlash, and the backlash I still get to date, you would not ever want this kind of backlash, because people think you're liars. People are like, why are you talking about a man of God? I never call his name. I never discuss the name of the church. I don't go into that. I just tell you my story. And, it's just really incredible. But I tell people, well, guess what? He's here. He's in the area. Why hasn't he sued me? Why hasn't he shut me up? You know why? Because it's the truth. No one can sue you for the truth. And if he had ever sued me, my God, we would have been on court, like court TV. It would have been ratings buster, because the things I could tell and the names I could call, it would have been crazy. He didn't sue, and I kept telling people, he's telling people that I'm a liar. People were calling me, people who I thought were friends, they abandoned me, and it was really challenging. There were pastors who literally, Sister Anna, would call me saying, you'll never preach in another church again for the rest of your life. And it was like
so
being
they
black.
Would rather protect him, the abuser,
well, it protects
than the person
anybody,
who got abused.
Because, they're female pastors, too. They're not just male pastors. So, other pastors like to protect pastors. It's like a tribe,
really
what
sad.
I found in my experience. Those who came after me and who still talk about me, I just pray for them, because again, they don't know that person, but they weren't married to him. I was.
Okay, well, now let me ask you this, because we are really running out of time, because You went through this for a long time. We're not talking about a couple of months. You went through this for years.
6 years.
Where are you now in terms of your heart toward him?
Oh, my God. Well, my heart
towards
him.
Have you forgiven him? Where are you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are five F's that led to my deliverance. First, I had to forgive him. I had to forgive myself. The second, the F, is forego. I had to cut all ties, cut ties with family, church members, anybody that, because people took sides, you know what I'm saying? And so I had to just cut ties. The third was I fortified myself with the Word of God. And I had to remind myself to tell myself, what does God see you as? He sees you as virtuous, strong, powerful, anointed. And so I had to get my mind back and get fortified with the Word and be girded by the Spirit. The fourth F is faith. I had to have faith in God that he would bring me through this stronger than I entered in it. And you know what they say in Genesis 52, what the devil meant for bad, God will use it for good. And that's advocacy that came out of it. What I'm doing, talking to you and people in Miami, this is the good that came out of that bad. And the last F is fly. I fly like an eagle, not a pigeon. I'm one of those people who's above, and I know that God has me. And that God has opened up so many doors because I was obedient in writing the book and coming out. I help other victims and survivors because alcoholics can talk to alcoholics and understand. You know what I'm saying? Someone who's relapsed and is alcoholic can minister to someone else like that better than someone who's never drank, like myself. So I talk to them, and I don't judge people. You could have been stabbed, shot, killed, go back with your baby daddy 20 times. I'm not going to judge you. All I'm saying is, sis, there's another way. Because eventually you're going to end up in a casket, and your children are going to end up without a mama. Because I know what happened to me. And so that's what the good is that comes out of it.
Okay, now, before we get into the you going through the journey with the cancer, for those who are listening right now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, I don't want them to miss this, how could they reach you? If somebody needs you to come, say, come to Miami to speak at an event.
Mm-hmm. They can reach me they can reach me the easiest through my website, which is www.uniapettus.com. That's UNNIAPETTUS.com. And I'll also give you my phone number. It's 1-855-866-4257. That's 1-855-866-4257. And I would love to come to Miami and minister, do workshops, preach, teach, whatever. But can we get to breast cancer too? Because I don't want people to miss the messages about breast cancer awareness.
So I hope you guys got that. I don't want you to miss either, because if you want to call her, if you want to get in touch with her, and listen, we got to find a way to get her to Miami to do some type of speaking event, because there are people here that have gone through what she has gone through, and there are people who are suffering, people have gone through the domestic violence, gone through the cancer and all of that, and still they don't really know how to handle or navigate themselves through all of that. But here's somebody who's gone through it and is willing to come talk to you about it and how to get through all of this. And so remember, 1-855-866-4257. That's Dr. Unia Pettus. Now, the cancer, you have, is it four times?
Four different cancers, yes. And this has been a 20-year history. In 2003, colon cancer. 2018, gynecologic cancer. 2019 and 20, kidney and breast cancer. So breast cancer is the fourth cancer that I've gone through. And I'm sure your listeners are like, what? Well, it's genetic. It runs in my family, unfortunately, on my father's side. Everyone that was really close to me is deceased because of cancer. I'm just so grateful that I have my mom. But I want women to know there are two preventative things regarding breast cancer. You need to do your self-exam. That's actually how I found my lump, in the shower. So do a proper self-exam. If you don't know how to do it, great. I got a website for you. Go to www.coleman.org. That's for Susan G. Komen. I happen to be one of their ambassadors. Again, that's www.komen.org. So my sisters, every month, please do a self-exam. The second, if you are over the age of 40, you need to get an annual mammogram. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control. Again, over age 40, you need to get a mammogram, because black women suffer with the earlier stages, more aggressive types. And did you know, Anna, we have a 41% mortality rate compared to white women with breast cancer. So wow. It's very aggressive, and that's why you need to check yourself and find out where you can get your mammogram. Ask for a 3D mammogram. That's the most technical kind. And be your own self-advocate. Get your sorority sisters, your daughter, your granddaughter. Let everyone in the family know, we've got to check our girls, which are your breasts, and we've got to get our mammograms. You know, we have to do more than just shop on Amazon and go to Macy's. We have to take care of our bodies. And because cancer is so aggressive with black women, I'm thanking you so much for allowing me to share this message, because there is hope. I almost died. I was in palliative care. They gave me 45 to 60 days, and that was in 2019. But God said different. I went through a double mastectomy. I went through all of my treatments during the peak of COVID, there by myself because, you know, we didn't have vaccines and all of that. But God has brought me through everything and is still taking me through. And I just want them to be encouraged and to know that God sees you where you are. You don't have to have the faith of me. You just got to have the faith of a mustard seed where you are. Your faith will grow to be a faith of a person who's been through more things. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen. Folks, we have been talking to Dr. Yunea Pettis. You know, I'm just in awe of you and your faith and how strong you are and how you've held on through all of this. And you're still praising God. Still praising God. That's the remarkable thing that I just so admire you for.
I have to take medications. One of the things that happened with breast cancer, my heart went into heart failure. So I have to take 4 pills for the rest of my life every day just to keep my heart at this level. So people never know what you're going through, but what I will tell you is that somebody's watching you. Like you're watching me, somebody's watching you, Anna. You know what I'm saying? So what do they think about you that shows Jesus? Jesus didn't go around complaining and moping.
No.
He went about his job and his ministry. And so that's what we're supposed to do.
You're out of time. I'm so sorry we're out of time. We got to have you back because this isn't enough time. Thank you so much for being on Spiritual Download. We have enjoyed you thoroughly. We've been informed. We've been blessed. We have been thoroughly blessed. And we look forward to having you back. Thank everybody for listening. I'll be back next week. Amen.
Nobody greater,
nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater.
Views and comments expressed on this program are not necessarily those of
WMBM Media Groups,
its staff, management, or advertisers. Gospel AM 1490 WMBM.